Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 91, Liron Hirschkorn. Okay, get ready. We are going to talk goals. Liron is a goal-oriented e-commerce seller. As a matter of fact, he's a goal-oriented person in general. He's got goals in his personal life, goals in his relationships, goals in his business, of course, goals in his health. All those things really intertwine, especially if you get into an e-commerce business where you are the boss, everything relies on you. Well, if you got family, friends, health to watch, goals were going to be the reason that you're going to have a lot of success. And so we spend a lot of time talking about goals. Matter of fact, in both segments, we spend time on goals because I think he does such a great job of explaining it. I think you will benefit greatly from this episode. I'm really excited about it. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, tonight's guest, I'm so psyched because I'm jazzed just from the pre-conversation. I mean, he's just so great to talk to. Every time I do talk to him, I learn something, and today I learned a lot. Welcome, Liron Hirschkorn. Welcome, Liron.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on the show. I'm a fan, and it's nice to be on the show.
Well, I'm a fan of yours, as you know. I kind of stalk you. We've been a couple conferences together, a couple events together recently. We ran into each other in Vegas.
Right.
We ran into each other in Scampower. And, you know, you're everywhere and you're doing big things. And I'm really excited to talk about them because I think, you know, in some ways, you're probably the epitome of the successful young seller. You are very willing to work very hard. You're very focused. When I saw you at ASD, you were on a mission. I mean, you just closed a deal or two. I could tell you were on your way to do something else. I mean, it was just so focused. And I'll be honest with you, in the workforce today, guys your age, and you're young compared to me, are not that focused. Do you think that's is that just you in general? I mean, has that just always been your way? Or could you say fairly that you see the same things, guys your age not as focused and not enjoying their work as much as you do?
I mean, when I'm excited, I think in general, when you're excited about what you're doing, it's easier to focus. So I think when I get excited about what I do, there have been times in my career where, you know, maybe I've worked for someone or I've had a boss that maybe wasn't so exciting to work for. I probably didn't have the same passion, but I'm very passionate about what I do because it's exciting. You're doing different things every day. You're making deals. You're looking at your sales. Like, you know, it's exciting. So it brings focus into it, and to try to grow the business is fun.
But look at your friends. I mean, look around your friends, right, that aren't in this business. Are they as excited about going to work?
No. they're more excited about coming back home.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? You've worked other places, though. It really is different. Now, I've been doing it a lot longer than you, and I still am excited. My wife says that to me all the time. She goes, I can't believe you're still excited about doing this. Man, right. I love to talk, hence the reason I have a podcast, because I love to talk about this stuff because it is exciting, right? There is that risk-reward, that immediate gratification, right? That rise in, you know, spirit and then decline when you know something doesn't work, but then it comes right back when you see, oh, well, this came in. It's really interesting, and I don't think of any other business like this. Now, you've had some other careers online. Mm-hmm. Would those have had the same ups and downs?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I had before going full time with this, I was running I had an online life insurance business. And you know, it's funny because one of sellers, including my own and every probably other seller's fear, is Amazon's going to suspend you. Well, my traffic was coming from Google, you know, and we were in that world. The fear is you're going to get the Google slap. You know, you're going to do something with your SEO, with your search engine optimization, that's going to be against the guidelines. And it did happen to me. Where, you know, Google's just going to not rank you for anything anymore. And
then, it did or it didn't happen?
It did happen.
So walk us through that. So you had something that against their terms of service, or they changed their terms of service, which is usually the way it was. It was acceptable this way, and then they changed something.
Yeah, so Google, you know, comes out with these changes to their algorithms. They had various ones they called Panda and Penguin, and they basically are trying to make it so people cannot sort of game the ranking. Just like you can rank on Amazon for a search, you can rank on Google for an organic search, which is, you know, free traffic. So you get that by having other websites link to you, other credible websites link to you. So you try to get those links. And if Google thinks you're paying somebody for a link and that, you know, you didn't earn that link, or, you know, you're getting too many links with that are targeted with keywords, and they don't just link like go here. Instead, they click, they set up the link, the anchor, as a specific keyword that you're trying to rank for. If you have too much of that, too high a percentage of your overall links, all that kind of stuff can hurt you. So you're trying to rank, and, you know, in the insurance world, I'm competing against, you know, MetLife, and even though I also sold those companies, you're competing against the biggest companies, and so it's very, very difficult. So you try to kind of you try to do as much as you can, but also you're trying not to get, you know, slapped by Google. And so that's the fear in that world. So I guess every world has their own.
So how do you recover from something like that, though? So did your business just come and go in a day? I mean, is that what happens?
It can, yes. I mean, so one thing was that I had two websites, and the reason I had two websites is for that very reason. So that if something happens to one site, you're still ranking on your other site, kind of like having two Amazon accounts. But you know, there's no issues with having two websites. So I had two websites, and what I did was I actually had to hire a company, and they had to sort of clean up all, you know, any links that I had that I'd gotten when maybe I didn't know as much as what I was doing that were not good links that you paid some companies to get for you. So you have them reach out to websites and remove them and do some work, and then you appeal to Google's graces, just like with Amazon, and then they can turn you back on. And I had that happen.
Wow. But you saw your income go down.
You see your income going down, and then, you know, it's like a big crash, and then you see it recover and everything's okay again. You know, and it could take, you know, 5-6 weeks. It could take longer many times. Sometimes people never recover from it, and their websites are worthless after.
Does that make you, you know, since you've been through that, you've been down that that course, you know, I think about, I was sitting with Brian Freifelter, and we were watching Cynthia Stein talk at the ScanPower conference. And Brian's open to say, you know, he was suspended and he recovered from it. He is so different. He is so on his numbers. His sales are exploding because he's so gun shy and he's so careful. And he said, you know, he said, I wasn't doing things quite perfect, and now they're perfect.
Right.
Are you that way now because you've been that way? You've been not burned. You've been, I don't even want to say caught. I mean, you got caught up in it. And does that make you a little gun shy with Amazon? Because you could see it's real. It's not just talked about.
Right. I mean, especially with the wave of suspensions that we had like last summer mm-hmm. year. You know, I try to be very clean with my account. There are things that I do that some might say are controversial. For example, I'll rebox a pair of shoes mm-hmm. and send them in not in their original box, but in a nice shiny box from Black Box from Uline that I use, which are excellent.
But they're brand new. You're buying brand new shoes, right? I get it. With tags,
the shoes are brand new. Everything is new. But yeah, so but some people say don't rebox, especially like a Nike shoe. I do that. I haven't had any issues. But I mean, overall with my accounts, I try to be, you know, pretty clean with it. I mean, I don't think there's anything I do that should really get me suspended, but you know, with Amazon, you really never know.
But you're mindful of it. Maybe that's in the back of your mind, always back there just saying, hey, you know, it's not worth the chance. I mean, there are some things that you just don't take a chance with,
right.
You know, and there are things that just, they're taboo to us. It's just like, nope. We're never going to do
it. I'll tell you what I don't take a chance with. I won't buy a pair of Jordans if they're not in the box. With the box. But I think I don't really know an Amazon seller who's not a little paranoid.
Right.
You know, about, in fact, I had somebody ask me today, do you think I should have my mom open up account? She lives in a different state. I can do my OA under her account, a different name, different IP, different address. and I asked them, are you doing anything, you know, are you doing anything that could lead to a suspension? And I was talking to them about where they shop, and they don't even shop like TJ Maxx and Marshalls, for example, because the receipts don't say the item name. They don't do any reboxing of shoes. I'm like, you're a little too paranoid. I don't think you need to go through the hassle of it. But it seems to me like every seller is a little paranoid.
Yeah, I can't imagine why somebody would want to do that. I guess they're thinking, well, that way in case my account gets shut down, I have my other account. Is that what they're thinking?
Yes, and they'll have some inventory there. But you're still stuck with all your inventory in one place. So to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and they're creating a taxable event for the mother, and now all of a sudden they're going to be paying. That sounds complicated.
It's complicated.
And probably almost illegal to that weird income stuff.
Right.
Okay, so how did you get started? I mean, did you come from an entrepreneurial family?
Well, I would say not really.
Not even way back. I mean, just this is.
Well, looking at my parents and my siblings, for example. So my dad does have does have his own business, but I wouldn't necessarily look at it so much as entrepreneurial as much. He has and now semi-retired, but he has like an appliance repair business, still his own business, but it's a little bit more of a job.
Did he have it when you were a kid?
Yes.
Okay, so you saw that growing up.
I did, yes.
So you saw it as a job because it was really time traded for money.
Correct.
So what did that do for you? Is that one of the things you're saying to yourself, check, don't want to do that? Is that what it did for you?
I don't know that that did it for me, but, I got in and my mom was a teacher. So,
okay.
And then, you know, my siblings are all professionals, dentist, lawyer, project manager, you know, my one sister does have a business, that is successful, but, my other siblings are, you know, professionals.
They have real jobs.
They have real jobs.
Real
right?
jobs.
You know, actually, my forefront into sort of this whole world of online marketing started for me when I got involved in MLM. Now, I probably would never get involved in MLM again. But in 2008 or so, I did get involved in an MLM that was starting early. And I had this idea to, you know, promote it using a website. And I had a website built, and I became the number one recruiter in that MLM. Using that,
because that's the whole business, right?
Yes.
You really don't sell anything, you recruit people,
right?
Who recruited you?
So I met a guy, so this was like a nutritional supplement type thing, mm-hmm. and I met a guy at Whole Foods, just started talking to him, who recruited me. That guy turned out to be good friends with a guy named David Wolf. You may or may not know, he's some of his stuff goes viral online. I became friends with him. He was one of the early people in it, and so was I. And I ended up quitting my job, and I was traveling the entire country with David Wolf doing these meetings and stuff. And that was all because of online marketing and targeting his followers on Facebook.
Well, what did it teach you? I mean, were you getting up and speaking in front of people?
Yes.
So was that a confidence thing? I mean, you had to learn some really great skills.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a good experience because I'm not like it's not super. I don't know if it's super easy for anyone, but of course, you know, I get nervous getting up and speaking in front of a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So that was a really good experience. But the biggest thing I got out of it was this concept of trading. The company, by the way, ended up, the founders were on the nutrition side, not on the money side, and so mm-hmm. they didn't have enough capital, and the whole thing went bust. But the lesson that I learned there, what I learned there was one, marketing. Specifically, I did it through online marketing. And two was trading time for money and getting introduced to, you know, Robert Kiyosaki and all this personal growth. And personal growth became sort of a thing in my life suddenly. You know, I went to a Tony Robbins, you know, event and walked on the coals and did all that.
Did you really?
Which is
would you do that again?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. I've never done it. I get kind of, you know, I get jazzed when I see that stuff.
Yeah.
When I think about it, I'm like, yeah, I could see myself doing that.
It's definitely a great experience. And so that got me into this whole personal development, growth, you know, world. And I think your mindset is the number one thing that's the most important aspect, I think, to your success before you can actually do it, you need to believe it. And for me, that was the, that's what getting involved in, you know, in the network marketing, kind of brought me to. So, you know, at the beginning of this year, I wrote down a crazy goal. Actually before even the beginning of the year, I wrote down this crazy goal for where I want my sales to be at the year. And I wrote it down on paper specifically. Because, you know, when you write something down, it becomes physical and there's a little bit more power to it. And I'm on track to make that goal. And I think once you put something in writing, it gets hardwired to your brain somehow and you're more motivated to take action to it.
I mean, do you have it posted where you can see it?
What's that?
Do you have it posted where you can see it so it's top of mind?
I don't have it posted in front of me where I can see it, but I have it in a notebook where I write down goals.
Okay.
But I think
so you'll go back to it.
I'll go back to it. Yeah. But I think even if you write that down, that goal once and you put it, you know, you put it in a drawer, you know, and you close it and look at it again at the end of the year, I think you'll be surprised at what you can achieve if you actually write down what you want to achieve. It's very powerful.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk more about goals because I think you're on to something and I think that people can get some help because I think you're proof of what's possible with focus and intensity. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. All right, we're back, and I told you this dude is smart, very smart, and it's exciting because the goal information we talk about, you know, it's so practical. We all know we should do it. Are we doing it? If you do it, you will be more successful as a husband, as a wife, as a spouse, as a brother, as a son, as a father, all those things. I mean, they're just so great, again, by focusing on important stuff. And so we're going to spend some time in this segment getting into that. And then we're going to get into Liren's group sourcing. And there's a story, and you got to listen to the end for the full story, but it's actually a very good story. So let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Liren Hirschkorn, and we're talking about goals at this point and, you know, how the lessons that he learned in internet marketing and multi-level marketing, but you were able to apply them to real life. And I think, you know what, those skills, you didn't learn them in high school, right?
Right.
You didn't learn them in college. And it's such a shame that those are the things that aren't getting taught. Right. Those life skills, you know, I always say that, you know, I used to teach a junior achievement class to teach them how to balance a checkbook because kids didn't know how to balance a checkbook, you know. And you think about life skills, those important things that you need to know in life. How about goal setting? Right.
Yes.
How about goal achievement? How about how to measure not everything's a failure? Not everything's black and white, you know, success, failure.
Right.
There are always lessons. What else do you use goals for? You're a healthy guy. I mean, do you use goals to keep yourself in good shape?
Yes, absolutely. So I have, you know, I've had written goals for, you know, what I want to achieve. And you know, a perfect example is probably, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, I probably was at a weight I wasn't thrilled with. And I said, I need to do something. And I joined Weight Watchers online. They have this app. And every day into this app, I plug in what I'm eating and have my points. And when you have something and I lost the weight that I wanted to lose. And when you're writing things down and you're tracking them and you're focused on it, you know, it makes a huge difference. You know, I think there's a saying where, you know, where attention grows, energy flows, or it's something to that effect of if you focus on something, you know, you can make it happen. And I think, If you're listening to the podcast, and one big takeaway is go write down a goal of what you want to achieve for your sales this year, and don't write down, make it unreasonable. You know, don't make it like, oh, I'm not going to achieve it. Make it
I'm going to lose 2 pounds. I mean, come on,
right.
Give me a break.
Yeah,
right?
Make it a stretch goal, something you don't think is achievable with your sales numbers, and just write it down. And
there's a phrase out there that says, "What gets measured gets done."
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So when you're measuring something, I mean, that's really important.
Right.
So you're saying, do you write goals down for your health, your business. What else?
My relationships.
Oh, great. Not only with your spouse, with your
siblings, kids, with my family. And I write down not just necessarily goals, but affirmations, meaning, you know.
That's a Tony Robbins thing there.
Yes. I have the best health possible. You know, I'm growing, you know, I'm growing my business to its fullest potential, or affirmations that set your mindset and put you in a positive state, because when do you do your best? When you're feeling crappy about yourself or when you're feeling good about yourself? You know, when do you have, it's the same thing when it comes to your health and when it comes to your business, when it comes to your relationships. It's if you're in the right state, or that Tony Robbins, if you're in the right state, or if you're in the right mindset, you're more likely to achieve better results. So
do you see that transferring to your kids?
Yeah, you know, when I worked for a big HSBC at one point, and I was a bank manager, and they had us take this class for managers, and there was an outside firm that came in, and one of the guys came in and told the story of something he said to his kids since they were young, and they were both now, you know, 14 at the time, I think, and both, you know, doing very well in sports and doing very well in school. And something I've done with my older daughter and now doing with my younger daughter is I always told her since she was small, maybe a year, I would say to her, what do you have inside of you? Greatness and unlimited potential. That means you can achieve anything. You know, I think it makes a big difference. You know, compare that to the parent who their child spills something on the table and they're like, oh, you're always spilling everything.
Yeah, you're always spilling it. But you're doing that to young women. And let me tell you, that's even more important than a young guy. Young guy, you can kick in the ass and say, hey, come on, let's get moving. But a young woman, self-esteem is almost always lacking without that buildup. And so that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. I admire that.
Yeah. So you know, I think wiring your kids in that positive, you know, state of mind. I know that, you know, I don't think I had parents that necessarily put me down, but I didn't have that, you know.
Right.
You know, you can achieve anything you want to achieve. And I think today it's probably more common than probably when I was a kid. But
back then you got hit with the stick. I remember that was the motivator. The stick and a carrot. Here's your stick.
Exactly. but you know, I think saying that to a child and also having that mindset yourself, like I can achieve anything. If I focus on it and take action.
Well, how do you do that with your relationship with your spouse?
You know,
you didn't think this interview was going to go this way, dude. I know you didn't, but you know what? I'm just telling you is that, you know, the thing I think about, right, is as I sit there and listen to myself talk sometimes, I think to myself, you know, we sell stuff, right? We buy stuff cheap and you sell it at a higher price, right? Pretty simple.
Right.
But it's not that simple, because your life will infiltrate, your family's life will infiltrate, you know, the rest of the world will infiltrate. It's how you deal with it.
Right.
And we're all dealing with the same stuff.
Right.
So when they see somebody who's successful like you, who's got a successful family, who's got a successful business, we all could use some tips and some helps to make sure we're on the right track. So that's the reason I go there.
And you know, everyone makes mistakes in life too. And that's okay. I'm on my second marriage.
Okay.
But and my first daughter is from my first wife, and now I have a 2-year-old with my current wife, and been married now for 6 years. And my marriage this time around is much, much better.
Are you more attentive to it?
I think I'm more attentive to it, but I think also the right person makes a big difference. For example, my wife is very, very supportive of what I'm doing. I think that's very important. And when I decided to say, you know, I'm doing well in my insurance business, but I outsourced it to another agent, and then I sold it to him. You know, when I was doing well in my insurance business, say, hey, I'm giving that up for this Amazon thing, she supported it. And so I think having that support is important. Getting your spouse on board is important. And likewise, it's very difficult if you don't have that support.
Oh yeah, it's got to be very impossible. You have to work at it though, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I find that, you know, if you communicate well and you explain things and you don't let, you know, you don't come in with all the lows, you bring some of the highs in too.
Right.
That helps, right? That helps that perspective.
I agree. And, you know, I listened to your podcast and the episode with a goose. You know, talking
is awesome.
You know, he's such a hard worker and such a great guy, and how he pretty much convinced his wife. He took off time from his job. He took a vacation, said, I'm going to make the next month. I'm going to show you what I can do. And he did it.
That's a man.
Convinced his wife. And that's an unbelievable story, and got her support. So yeah, there are things you could do to take action and, you know, and get spousal support.
Well, let's talk about your business now. Your business has you're almost at last year's sales. So you started a year plus ago, almost a year and a half ago.
Right.
But you really didn't hit it heavy until mid-year last year.
Right.
But you're almost at – and you had a great year last year by any stretch. This year, you're almost at last year's sales already.
Right.
What would you – I mean, you didn't – I guess we could say you learned a lot. I mean, of course, that's common sense. But I just remember seeing you go through ASD with that intentional focus. Man, I thought, man, there's a guy who figured it out and just so focused.
Well, I'll tell you, I almost didn't go to ASD. And it's another sort of lesson there, because I went to ASD the year before and I had just literally started. And I had no clue what I was doing. I didn't really get much out of it. And so I was thinking, you know, why am I going to not just spend the money, but the time and away from my family and flying out there? ASD sucked for me last year. Why am I going to go again? But I said, you know what? I know some people going and I think I should give it a chance. And I ended up going. I made the decision, you know, only a few weeks before to actually decide to go. But I'm so glad I did, because when I came to ASD this time around, I had a focus. I knew what I was looking for. I had already I sell shoes and clothing, and so I knew exactly where I was going, as opposed to last year. You know, I went to where every other seller goes, toys,
right?
You know, and
you see the dollar toys by the gazillions,
you see that stuff, and then you see closeout stuff, and a couple months later that stuff tanks on
cleaning supplies as far as you can see. And they all have the same exact one, and I'm always like, well, how do they all get it?
and you know, I saw closeout toys, and I bought some, and I kind of did okay with it, but the price tanked a couple months later on Amazon because everybody else at the show and every other vendor had those same things. And so, you know, I didn't really have a focus of my business at that point when I first went to ASD. And I'm so glad I went the second time around, because I really found some, you know, vendors that I did business with that I've already reordered from.
That's awesome. You know, that's a good sign.
The second time around. So, you know, it was a very good experience the second time around. So the reason you saw me focus is because this time around I knew what I was doing. And so if you've been to the show, a trade show, and you didn't have great success, go to another one.
Well, you know, I use this one, the Philly Gift Show. Greg Purdy asked if he could come along with me. He's like, you know, I've never really been to one. I want to really see what happens. Well, we went and we found two really great wholesale accounts and we split it.
Right.
And that was fine with me. And it was actually kind of enjoyable. You know, it's kind of weird, and maybe this is a little cocky, but you have a little more confidence because you know what you were talking about, and you kind of, you know, like, hey, let me show you, Greg,
right.
You know, and then he quickly took over the conversation because he's so good too. But it was just neat, you know, and I think you have to go to one just to experience it the first time. And like you say, just go fumble around. But if you can hang out with somebody, and I think most people are very generous and would likely give you the time of day and allow you, if you're open and candid with them and you make yourself trustworthy, they would allow you to come along and see how it's done.
Oh, yeah.
I hung out with the Toy Fair with Sam Cohen and his team. I sat in on all their presentations, and they were going for, you know, big, big accounts, you know, dropping $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't feel threatened in the least by me sitting there in those conversations.
Right. I agree. I mean, I think if you want one, the networking is great when you go to a trade show, because if you, if you do a little pre-planning you know, and I used to have a manager who would always say proper planning prevents poor performance. You know, you do a little pre-planning and find out from Facebook groups who else is going and meet up, and that's worth it on its own. But you know, if you want to get into wholesale, then I think going to a trade show is the best way to do it.
I think so too. Now let's talk about trade show, because you were at the Scampower conference and you were working the crowd. You were that.
Yes.
But you said that you went to the Atlanta show based on that. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So at the Atlanta show, Scampower show, conference, a friend of mine, actually somebody, I can call her a friend now, but Dwayne Malik, a few months ago, and again, through networking, introduced me on Facebook to Allison Landrum. And he said, you should talk to her. She's part-time, but she's like killing it. You should talk to her. And so I did, and she and I told her to come to the Scam Power conference, and she did. And we were just having a conversation and at the conference, and she told me, you know, I applied for Atlanta, and because she lives in Alabama. I applied for the Atlanta, but they denied me. And I, and I said, that's crazy. I'm going to apply, and I'll make you an employee, and I'll get you in. So, and the reason she got denied was because, you know, she's operating under her own name and not a business name. And, you know, so they didn't approve her. So I said, I'm going to apply. So I applied, and like the next day they asked me for a business check and invoice and whatever. I emailed to them. I got approved. So I sat there, I got approved. I put you as an employee. We're going to go, you know, you make a business card with my, my company name on it. You'll get in, I'll get in. We'll go together.
But I want to pause there for a second.
Yes.
So what you described is a relationship, a network. I call them micro networks. That's my phrase.
Right.
And because you gave or she gave, you gave.
Right.
Right? I mean, just think about that. That's all it was.
Absolutely. And you know, and we sort of – I'm not in a mastermind with her, but there's a few people like that I chat with on Facebook, and we share information. And, you know, I do that with Allison and some other people. And so when she said, you know, and this was just a conversation that happened at Scam Power that probably wouldn't have happened otherwise. So we went to the Atlanta show, and I picked up a couple of really good wholesale accounts. And to go back a little bit to Scam Power, you know, one of the people that I wanted to meet was Andy Slammons, who I really want to meet, and I've been getting into private label. And now that we've met face to face, we're partnering on a product that I brought to him. So there's a big benefit to going to trade to conferences where you can meet somebody face to face. But going back to the Atlanta show, yeah, this was an apparel and shoe show. Atlanta basically has the Mart, which is three buildings, one for I think giftware, one's for home category, and one is for apparel and shoes, and they have some vendors that are there regularly. And then they have what's called shows where temporary vendors come in. And so that's what I went to a couple weeks ago. And there's another one in June that's coming up.
Well, again, and you touched on a phrase, mastermind. So I'm the guy who's going to tell you I don't see masterminds work. I haven't found one yet that works, to be frank.
Right.
I call them micro networks.
Right.
What you just described is a group of people that you get to talk with on a personal level. Masterminds don't go deep enough. They're too rigid. They're too formal.
Right.
They're scheduled. They're organized. I don't want to work with that. You know, I think our business is not designed for that,
right?
Because it's so fluid, right? I mean, aren't you working on this today? You're on your private label today. Tomorrow you're on wholesale. You might be at retail tomorrow.
Yeah.
You never know.
Right.
That you need that fluidity, and that's why a network, what you described, would work. And so I'm glad to hear that you're doing that, because ultimately that's the best way. Pre-show, you know, Liren and I were talking about two different events that we might be attending together now,
right?
Because of our relationship. And again, it's just, you know, reach out. We meet each other a couple times. You become friendly. You talk to each other, you know, and you build a respect. And that's what it takes. That's it, right?
Absolutely.
I didn't ask you for anything. You didn't ask me for anything, right? There's
no
quid pro quo.
Right.
There's no, well, he's going to take it. Go ahead. You can take it. You'll never hang out with me again, right? Or vice versa. That's the kind of relationships that you have to have.
You know, I wanted to for a while. I wanted to network with the young guns, right? Because who doesn't want to network with
dudes? Dudes are crazy. I love them.
So,
they're crazy.
So I said to myself, you know, I'm just going to give, right? I'm not going to ask for anything in return. I'm just going to give. I'm just going to, you know, when I see a good Amazon flip or when I see an opportunity for something, I'm just going to send it to them, you know? And that's what I did. And actually starting Q4, I started sending them in a chat, some of them, screenshots of stuff as I was in retail stores from my Scam Power mobile of, you know, Rank and what I was finding and pictures without requesting or asking for anything in return. And now I talk to them regularly. In fact, on Sunday, Karen sent me over an item that, you know, it's not Amazon. It's the actual maker of the product can't keep in stock on Amazon. And like, hey, there's this many left. Like, let's, you know, buy them out because I've already sold some of these at triple the price. So
I'll think about that,
you know, and she just sent it to me. I didn't ask or anything. But that's, you know, those relationships are amazing. So my advice is just give. Don't expect anything.
Give without expectation. I gave a sermon on that. Give without expectation, and you're going to be shocked at what you get. But it has to be without expectation,
right?
Because you'll be blown away. I love it, love it, love
absolutely.
It. So your business is really growing. Now, what percentage are you of wholesale now?
So my wholesale is growing. My wholesale is growing. It's getting there. It's getting to be hard for me to even know, but it's growing 20-30%. I mean, it's growing. I'm still doing some retail arbitrage. I'm doing some retail arbitrage, not as much. I'm doing OA, but just for shoes, and I'm using Quincy Lynn's
list. It's a great list, really great,
an awesome list, and you know, not just what he's sending, but there's rabbit trails there that I like even better than what's on the list, because I know other people aren't looking at it. Mm-hmm. So looking at so OA for shoes, I do Amazon flips. I do a good amount of those. Some retail, wholesale is growing, and PL is growing, private label, and all those things are only within shoes and clothing. I really stopped sourcing other things, and you know, I'm even questioning if I'm going to do any toys, for example.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you going to do in the fourth quarter when you start seeing somebody post, hey, they have Legos for $19 and you got to go buy them and return.
So
what are you going to do? It's like a Jones. How do you get off of it?
Right. So I'm already sort of questioning in my mind, if am I even going to look at toys in Q4? Because this past Q4, I did very well with clothing, for example, and shoes, but with clothing, I mean, things like pajamas, kids' robes. I mean, so many things, slippers, like so many things did so well. And the competition was less. And a lot of the sellers who usually focus on that stuff are heading over to toys. So you even have less competition sometimes. So I don't know. Maybe you could.
So you'll say toy related. Is that what you're thinking? So, you know, like you're saying, kids' pajamas and things like that, that where you get to keep your toe in the water but not go.
Well, I wouldn't say that's toy related, but I would say when I'm thinking shoes and clothing in the fourth quarter, I'm thinking gift related. You know, I'm thinking, is this something somebody would give as a gift for the holidays?
Smart.
And so if I'm looking at shoes, you know, probably I'm not going to get a gift of, I don't know, somebody may get sneakers. Like you might buy your grandson a pair of sneakers they want. But maybe slippers is more, you know, more of a gift as a stocking stuffer.
Or Star Wars sneakers maybe.
Yes, or Star Wars sneakers or. Right. What are going to be those gift items? It might not be a pair of jeans, but a man's robe is going to be, or a woman's robe, or, you know, so when I'm thinking Q4, I'm thinking, you know, what are going to be things that somebody might give as a gift? And, a lot of people, you know, clothing did very well for me. Clothing was my second best category. I did more in toys, but, you know, I also had toys that were left over from Christmas,
where
the price declined, and not as much so with clothing. So this year I may not even go there.
You know, we're very similar in that way. I did not go to the toy fair. This is the first year we went to ASD instead, because it was, you know, it was one or the other. And I just didn't feel like I was getting the value because it, you know, there's just so much there, and the price drops and just the number of people. It just wasn't worth it, I didn't think. So I'm even thinking this year that I might just turn it off myself, because – again, you have to stay current. You have to really hustle, and I don't think I'm going to do that. There are so many people so much better than me, and that's okay.
And, you know, I found, you know, when I went to ASD the first time, I was disappointed, because most of the things that I looked at in toys and were, you know, Keystone, right? The price of the toy is $7 for you wholesale and sells for $15. And I'm like, I can't really make money with that on Amazon, especially on lower price points. You know, if something is $30 and you sell for $60, that's better. But but it's hard to make money on some of this stuff because of the, you know, fees with Amazon and the Keystone pricing. But, you know, in clothing, for example, I picked up a shoe wholesale account. It's already on Amazon, mostly only MF sellers, and it's $40 wholesale, $89 MAP pricing. That's so much, you know, that's not, first of all, it's better than Keystone, but it's so much better, and there's a lot more of those opportunities. Or even picked up, you know, items that are, you know, lower cost items might cost me $5, but sell $20 in clothing. or shoes, the same thing. So mm-hmm. I find that the margins that between wholesale and retail are much better in those other categories as opposed to, for example, toys. So, you know, and the reason I got into clothing and shoes in the first place is because I just found in terms of sourcing, mostly initially with RA, that it was much easier and much faster for me to go, you know, source at TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Nike Clearance, those kind of places. And I could spend $2,000-$4,000 in a couple hours very quickly because I'm buying higher price point items, and it was easier for me to source, especially being in New York, and having, you know, proximity of, I don't have to drive 2 or 3 hours to go to places. I can drive 15-20 minutes and spend $5,000.
Yeah, no, I think it's smart, and I think people graduate to that. I think a lot of people, you know, do start to think that way. But it is very hard to give up. You know, I always use the Target end cap clearance. I did another interview, will be coming out next, mm-hmm. and we talked about the Target end cap. How do you get past that? You know, you went to your Lego buyer, you go buy your Legos, but you walk past that, and you know it's 30, 50, 70. And you're thinking, oh, man, it's at 70. Should I buy? Should I buy? How do you get the discipline to walk past it? And this particular interview is like, look, if it doesn't meet my margins, I walk past it regardless.
I'll tell you to stop going to Target.
Yeah, well, that's it. I don't go because I must admit I have trouble stopping. So I just stop going altogether, and then I never have that issue. And it's funny. Right. That's the way I cut it off too.
Yeah.
You have to quit cold turkey.
Yeah, I agree. And it really depends ultimately what you want your business model to be. I think –
Well, do you know what you want your business model to be?
Yes.
Tell us.
I know what I want my business model. Well, I want to.
Because you wrote down goals.
I wrote down goals. I want my business model to be more wholesale and private label, mm-hmm. and you know, OA when it comes to shoes. I want to continue doing that. Amazon flips are good, but my the products that I want to stock are clothing and shoes, because as you become more knowledgeable in that area, more knowledgeable in what sells, more knowledgeable with vendors, more, you know, it's easier to go from one to the other, you know, you talk to that one vendor and says, oh, I'm also attending at this show. Are you going? And the more you are involved in a specific niche, the better you are. And then you can, when you go to that vendor who says, I don't want Amazon sellers, and tell them, well, you know, I sell
Keen, or I sell one of theirs.
Last month, I sold 1,000 pairs of shoes. Are you sure you don't want to work with me? You know, when you have more confidence in the niche, or when you tell the vendor, you know, you don't want to sell to me, but so and so, they're much bigger. They sell to me. You know, then you have a little bit when you have the more knowledge and you know more people in the industry and niche. I think I just think it's better if you want to go more of the wholesale, you know, route. If you want to do retail, it doesn't necessarily matter so much. But, you know, I think I want to scale the business more through wholesale and private label, and have some more replenishable either items or vendors that I can go to. I met one vendor at the at ASD that I've been buying closeout licensed sporting items. And that's been fantastic. It's been really well. I just placed an order with him for items yesterday that should be coming tomorrow. And his stuff has been selling for me very well. There's like only a few merchant fulfilled sellers on this stuff. The rank is good, but nobody looks at that stuff because, you know, most sellers just all go to the same place. But I think if you get to learn a little bit more in the clothing and shoes and you're not afraid to go there, there's a lot there.
I love it. I think you're looking for a long-term business, right?
Yeah.
What's your lifestyle business look like? What do you see you got a young kid now. Mm-hmm. And so what do you see the lifestyle that you want with your business?
I mean, the lifestyle that I have is a big reason why I'm in business for myself and why I was in business for myself before this. You know, because I can go pick up my daughter from the bus at mm-hmm. At 3:15 and you know, pick her up after school and
develop her character, because you get to have a conversation with her.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Right. Well, she's almost a teenager, so.
Oh, that's even a bigger deal. Well, that's a bigger deal, though. I mean, I'm sure she doesn't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
But she's listening. You know it.
Right. So, you know, but I get to go to sleep when I want and wake up when I want. And I get to run my life how I want to. And that's awesome. You know, sometimes Like sometimes I work until 3 o'clock and then I wake up at 9:30 next day and I start to work at 10, and you know, and I work 10 to 6 and then I spend family time, and at 9 o'clock I'm back to being on the computer doing stuff. You know, looking at all the looking at, you know, repricing and all the stuff that we need to sit and do on the computer. And I'm up until 2 or 3 and you know, but I love that I can do that. And if I, the next day, if I just want to take off and do something with my family or whatever, I could do it. I don't have to ask anyone.
I have a personal question. Let me see if you'll answer it.
Yeah, sure.
So you've got a bunch of family who are professionals. Right. You said that.
Right.
Do you measure yourself against them successfully, unsuccessfully? Do you think they measure themselves? How do you think they're looking at you?
Yeah, I measure myself against them. Especially, I mean, so I have a brother who is like in commercial real estate investment banking. He's very, very successful. He also works very, very hard. So, you know, I look at my brother and say, he's very successful. He does really, really well. But at the end of the day, he works for somebody, you know, and there was, right. when the financial market crash happened, he was out of work for a year. Because, you know, it was a crisis in his marketplace. And, that's sort of some of the stuff he has to deal with, but he has a job that he loves. He works very hard, but, he works for somebody else. And yeah, I measure myself up to that. But my siblings are all successful. It's not really.
Well, I guess what I was going to say is, I mean, do you feel like you're less than because you don't have that formal?
No.
I mean, at what point do you get to the place where you realize, holy cow, I'm, you know, you probably make more money than some of them. And yet you have all this flexibility. I mean, have you gotten to that mental state?
Yes, I've gotten.
Well, that's a big deal.
I mean, I look at my wife has more education than I do. Doesn't make as much as I do. You know, has to answer to somebody. She loves her job. But I look at that and I'm like, wow, I'm so lucky. I'm so grateful. And actually, if we're adding to the topic of goals, I would add to the list gratitude, you know?
Yeah. Gratitude's the biggest one. I think gratitude is actually probably one of the biggest ones out there.
You know, sometimes I just sit and I'm like, wow, I'm so thankful for being able to do this and, you know, run my life and, you know, make a living and decide, you know, what I'm going to do for the day. And, so grateful. And I think that gratitude, again, adds to that mindset and your success. When you really sit and think and write down what you're grateful for, it's very powerful also.
No, I don't take a steps and write it down, but I this is going to sound corny, and since we're being real, I'm being real, is every night I have my gratitude list, and I actually, you know, it's my wife and my kids and my grandkids and my house and my job and my business and my church and my friends. And, you know, it does change your attitude, and especially if you do it before you go to bed, because that's the way your mind should be. And it might sound corny to some people, but give it a shot. You know, just do it for 30 days and tell me you don't have better focus.
Absolutely.
I think it's so true. I think I love your goal. You know, I now get you so much more, and I see where you're going because you know where you're going. And I think that's probably one of the coolest things about your story. So, you know, you do get to wake up and you have all that freedom, but more importantly, don't you feel secure?
Yeah.
You know, here's a good example. Your brother, right?
Yeah.
You know, very successful. He was probably secure up until the day he lost his job.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't feel insecure in any way, right? Because you could just go and find something else.
Right. Yes. I don't feel insecure in any way. And, you know, you're talking about the gratitude, and it does sound corny, but it is powerful. No matter, you know, what it sounds like, but yeah, I think you have to know where you're going in order, you know, before you go there, and, doing all these things, like you said, and, focusing on being grateful. I mean, how, when you focus on, okay, I have my health, I have my family, I have this, I have that. How angry can you be at that day's sales numbers or whatever? You can't, you know, you can't. And
you can't. And I love my wife more. Is that bad? No chance.
Right.
No chance. It's good.
Right. And you know, the other thing there is that if you're not happy with the state of something, then the only thing that's going to change it is action, not focusing on the problem. you know, focusing on what action am I going to take to change this. I have a friend who recently told me, you know, my sales suck, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, forget about what your sales suck today. What are you doing? What steps are you taking? Write it down. What are you going to do to make a change? Are you going to source differently? Are you going to price differently? Are you going to, what are you doing differently in order to change what you're currently doing in your business today, if it's not where you want it to be?
I love it, dude. I'm telling you, man, you are on.
I do too, because I think you're doing exactly what we should be doing. And you know, you're a young guy. To get it at your age is a big deal. Well, you know what, relative to me, all right? We'll just talk relative to me. But that's a big deal. As a dad, man, when your kid gets this stuff, it's a big deal. You know, I'm telling you, you're teaching your daughters, that is even a bigger deal, because when they get it and they realize that they, you know, they don't need a man, you know, right. They can do it on their own. It's right. A big deal. And I'm telling you, I always admire that. I always watch people with their kids, you know, and I always watch those little things and you could see, you know.
Right.
So what do you do when things aren't so good? How are you getting past them? That's where you're sitting down and you're coming up with that plan. Is that really the place where you just dig deep and just plan? But I mean, when things still aren't working, what are you doing?
You know, I think if something's not working, you gotta change, take action, see what the results are, and continue doing that until you find what's working. I mean, I've made mistakes in sourcing, for example. So now I learned from it, and you know, I'm not going to make that same mistake again.
You don't buy them again. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. I got a lot of those, you know, that you don't buy, put them on eBay or give them away.
Yeah. Or, you know, So I've made mistakes in sourcing. So I think I'm not upset about those mistakes. Every mistake I've made is a learning lesson towards getting to where you want to be. And so, you know, when something's not working, then you got to do something else, you know, but I don't have those moments where I say, you know, oh, my business isn't working. I have those moments where I say, this didn't work, and you know, I learned something from it.
So they're not regrets; they're just lessons.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So, what's the best advice that you've gotten that you could share?
Well, you know, I started in this reading, you know, online arbitrage. By Chris Green, and you know, that was very powerful for me to learn. So I would say, you know, get educated. But the biggest advice I can give you is take action, do it. You know, I had a friend who has been learning about private label for like a year, but hasn't pulled the trigger on buying a product. And I'm like, you just do it, just buy it, even if it fails. You know, just do it, because if you don't do it, you're never going to learn from it. You're never going to. So wherever state you're in your business, take the next step. Even if you don't think you're ready for the next step, you know, you're not ready for wholesale, just go to a trade show and see what it is. You're not in shoes and clothing, get ungated for it and do it. It's easier than ever. Or whatever next step you think or you want to be in your business, just take action. It's so much better. Even if it's not perfect or you don't have all the knowledge, you'll figure things out. One of the speeches at the Scampower conference was, I think, Daniel from Wholesale Formula. And one of the things that he said in his speech, which is so true, which is, you know, we just started doing stuff and we said, we'll figure it out, you know? Mm. And I think if you have that attitude that you're just going to just take some action, send stuff in, do things that you haven't done before and get out of your comfort zone a little bit, that's probably the best advice I can give somebody else on getting to the next level, and do things that are out of your comfort zone. Go to a conference if you haven't been to one. Go to a trade show if you haven't been to one. Even if you think it's expensive or whatever, you'll get something out of it. You know, so I think getting out of your comfort zone, doing things you're not necessarily either comfortable with or you think you're ready for, just do them.
Well, especially if things aren't working for you, you have to change, right? You have to, because what you're doing isn't working, right? The best prediction of future performance is past performance, right? So you got to change. So by getting out of your comfort zone, you really are going to stretch yourself. And then all of a sudden, you're going to say, I just met somebody at the Scampower conference. She gave me a lead to Atlanta. I got her in. And now all of a sudden, boom, you got rewarded for that trip. You said you found two wholesalers. I mean, that's a big deal.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you a quick story. I have neighbors who are in college, and sometimes they help me with my prep. And they told me, they said to me, you know, this X and X, this particular product is very popular with kids in college. And it's in the shoes and clothing niche. They said, I mean, it's very popular. They know that that's what I do. It's very popular. Then 2 days later, I had ordered it from Alibaba. And right now it's selling organically, no PPC, no promotion, nothing. And I just took action on something that they told me. I took a chance on it. I didn't do, you know, I did some research, but I didn't sit on it for 6 months. I just took action on it. And it's actually one of my better selling private label products. And that was just taking action on, based on someone telling me something and taking a chance. The worst case with a lot of stuff on Amazon is you liquidate it and you can break even or you have a small loss. But if you don't take that action, you're never going to learn.
As Matt Kelly says, if you bought it at the right price, the price can decline all the way down and you can still get out breaking even.
Absolutely.
Name a business where you could break even.
Right.
Life is very good if that's your worst option.
Yes.
Any tools that you're using that, you know, that you find, I mean, well, I want to go a different direction. Actually,
okay.
I want to ask this question because you mentioned flips and tips.
Yes.
I want to go a different direction. I wanted to ask about this because you do a lot of Amazon flips. I noticed that. You post a lot. Why? I mean, how do you get the time? How do you get the focus? How do you get, because you're good at it. I mean, it's a skill set. Clearly, it's a skill set.
Right.
Where do you get the skills and the time to be able to do that?
So a lot of it I actually learned two ways. A lot of it I actually learned from reading and watching the videos in online arbitrage from Chris Green. That was sort of my initial foray into some of the tools that are out there, like Keepa and watching, you know, Amazon price drops and following rabbit trails like, you know, customers who bought this also bought this and looking at variations and the price differences. This item is anywhere between $10 and $50 and looking for that $10. You know, sort of variation and seeing if that's a good buy. So initially learning and then just really doing it and with experience. Over the last year, I've spent a good amount of money, you know, on Amazon flips and selling items that I bought from Amazon and resold back on Amazon. Very profitable items. Over the last week, I've been buying pants for $10 and selling them for $45. Very quick, fast flips, and the way I really find them is by you know, searches on Amazon and with Keepa. But I sort of found some methods that I use with certain searches and filters that help me find them in a faster way. So that's been a very good source, especially since I send them all to a prep center. So I never even see the products or prep them or do anything. And because I'm dealing in shoes and clothing, that prep fee is nothing.
So because you're not busy enough, you decided to start your own group. And so, you know, when you want to get something done, you give it to a busy person. That's really the truth. It really is the truth, because when I've done so many of these interviews and every single one of them, the people are doing so much and so much, and they add another thing and they hit a home run every single time. And it's like, there's a pattern here. It's because you guys can work on process. So you're starting a group for Amazon Flips. What's it called?
So the group is going to be called, and I'm just starting it like as of May 1st, but it's going to be called Sourcing on Amazon. It's not for Amazon. You're actually sourcing on Amazon. So that's what the group's going to be called, Sourcing on Amazon. And the group will be focused on flips in clothing and shoes, mostly things that are in limited quantity. Amazon has 3 left in stock, 2 left in stock, 10 left in stock, where, you know, the goal is to buy out Amazon. They go out of stock, you send it in, and you have
– you get to bring it back to MAP and that whole thing, right, where the opportunity is.
Right. So that's really the focus. A lot of shoes, some clothing, and, you know, I'll be posting flips throughout the day, anywhere between 6 and 15 really good flips.
5 days a week?
I'll commit to 5 days a week, but probably 7 days a week.
You know, I'm so excited to watch you know, you grow. I mean, it's just so neat to see because, again, I think, you know, your advice about goals and just life goals and all that stuff is just so important. And, you know, again, some people are going to chuckle at it, say, oh, you know, this and that. But let me tell you, the proof is in the pudding, and you're having such a great year, and it's just awesome to see. I can't wait to see you at the next event, hopefully in Vegas, maybe before then. We'll see. Maybe next week, as a matter of
right.
fact, we might see each other. So, man, I just appreciate you taking the time. I'm just again, excited for you and excited for all that you're doing. I'll have links to his list, sourcing on Amazon. Grow your business, but again, let's set more goals. I just love that piece. I think that's going to be my biggest takeaway tonight. Liren, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it.
Take care.
Bye.
So, you know, I record these in advance, and Liren launched his group and sold out in a day. Because he's so good and he has such a reputation for doing it. And let me tell you, it's amazing the quantity of flips he's posting every single day. It's incredible. All weekend, boom, he's posting. So he gave me a deal, and I said, you know, we were going to launch it if it didn't fill up, and he already filled it. So he said, hey, I'll do another waiting list, and the only way you're going to get on that waiting list is if you come through the podcast. So I have a link on the website. There's no fee or anything like that. It just clicks through, and it's a message to him. So you got to message Liren and mention the podcast that you want to get on the secret waiting list. And when he gets started, you'll be on that list. It's a big deal. He's a great guy, a lot of great ideas, and again, a doer. Set your goals. Take action. This is one of those podcasts that he challenges you to take action. I think if you do, you're going to be very, very surprised. And I appreciate you listening. ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.